Also, I just want to thank, you know, the people that just helped me get the worship service coming along. I didn't know how many parts there were to, like, just get everything ready and to just have people just to come and be willing to help and loving to help. You know, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for that. So I believe there will be times when you face giants in your life, like going to college or starting a new job or picking up your life and moving to a whole new city or starting retirement or even doing your first sermon ever. David had to face a giant named Goliath, and he had no one believing that he could defeat him. There are amazing perspectives that we can learn from the story of David and Goliath. So just to kind of give you a little bit of background of what we're about to dive into, it all started from a battle challenge that came from a fearless and ruthless soldier from the Philistine army that would change the life of David's life completely. This soldier was named Goliath. He was no ordinary man. He was 9 feet tall with his armor and weapon. It weighed about 150 to 200 pounds. At that very moment, the Israel army was on one side and the Philistine army on the other side of the mountain. There was a battle ready to break loose among these two armies. The air was thick with anticipation, fear, and nervousness settled among these soldiers. Goliath said to the Israel army in a mocking tone with a booming voice that echoed across the valley, I am not a Philistine. Are you not a servant of Saul? Choose one of your men to have him come and get me. If he wins in a fight against me, then you will become our servants and you will serve us. If I defy the ranks of Israel's today, send me a man so that we can fight against each other. Fear shook King Saul and the Israel army to the core, hearing the words of Goliath. 40 days straight, Goliath made this challenge known to the King Saul and his army until a young teenage shepherd named David steps on the battlefield that will change everything. So we're going to be in the passage 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47. So David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the reigns of Israel. You have defied him today. The Lord will hand you over to me. Today I strike you down to remove your head and give you the courts of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the wild creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God. This whole assembly will know that this is not by a sword, but by the spirit that the Lord saves. And for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us." So there's two remarkable perspectives that we can learn from the story of David and Goliath. Despite people's opinion about you, the Lord looks at your heart. So the story of David and Goliath is a classic underdog story. So, you know, no one's really expecting Goliath to beat, no one expecting David to beat Goliath at all. And you kind of see this in the first glimpse. You see this in 1 Samuel 16, chapter 6 through 13. So on the day that, you know, he's supposed to be anointed as king of Israel, you know, he was not even in the lineup at that time. So basically, Prophet Samuel came to anoint a new king of Israel. Well, he was going, Jesse, which is David's, you know, father, was basically lining up his 7 sons. He had 8 sons. And through that time, you know, it was, God said no to each one of them. You know, and, you know, what amazed me was, you know, Prophet Samuel asked, is there any more sons? He's like, yes, there is one, the youngest, which is taking care of the sheep. Which he doesn't even mention David's name at all. He just says, hey, yeah, the youngest is out there taking care of the sheep. Which, you know, to me, that shows a lot, the view of what they had of David, what his father had, the view that he had of David. And to me, even Prophet Samuel had this thought that the oldest brother was going to be the next king of Israel, which is Elam. But then it's remarkable what the Lord says to even Prophet Samuel to remind him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, but looks at the that looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So, you know, on that day, Jesse sends someone to go get David, and on that day, you know, God anoints, you know, David as the new king of Israel. Which, you know, from this point, I mean, you get the feeling that basically David is like the black sheep of the family. And I think we can all relate to that feeling of, you know, being the outsider sometimes, even in high school or even as an adult, having not to feel like you belong. And that's the feeling that I feel like David felt, like he was not, like he was the black sheep. The second glimpse that you see the story of someone not believing and that he could defeat Goliath was the king. David approaches the king to let him know that he was wanting to fight against Goliath. And then, you know, the king Saul's reply to David, you can't go fight the Philistine, you're just a youth. He's been a warrior since he was young. And it's remarkable what David's reply to that is. David replied to Saul about this was amazing. Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. See, from David's perspective, he knew that God had him there for a reason. He knew that he was supposed to be there. And, you know, despite, you know, what people think about you, the Lord is looking at your heart and he has you where he wants you to be. And so, what's remarkable, let me give an example. It's like if you're going to college, you know, and you feel overwhelmed and feel like, man, can I do this? Can I accomplish? Can I, you know, fulfill going through college? Just know that God has you there for a reason. God, you're capable because God put you there. And God has equipped you to be there. So the second point, what this really reminds me of is the NFL quarterback, Brock Purdy. He was basically chosen last in the NFL draft. And he was called Mr. Irrelevant. So, just to kind of, I mean, that is such a confident boost booster, basically. I mean, having to be called Mr. Irrelevant. But the thing is, he didn't let that bother him at all. He ended up, in the second year of being on that team, he ends up leading them to the Super Bowl. In every interview that I've seen, he's always giving credit to God. So it brings me to my next point. God will prepare you so you can face your giant. When David answers, your servant has killed lions and bears, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. David had understood that God prepared him to face Goliath. All this time that he was taking care of the sheep, it was during the time that God was training him the whole time. So from the time that he's over there spending time in the fields, In which, you know, to some people that would seem like a tedious job. A job that, you know, it was seen as a servant's job. You know, God was preparing him when he was facing the lions, when he was facing the bears. He was preparing him to face the lions. He didn't know that at the time. But, you know, that's what God was doing at that time. And, you know, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, we can do certain jobs and feel like, man, what's the point of this? What's the point of me doing this job? For example, say if you get volunteered to paint someone's house or to mow someone's yard, you know, it would seem like a tedious job to do it. But God is, I feel, at that time, He's preparing to, you know, preparing you and training you, even through that, having to give you a servant's heart. Even though if you don't see it at that moment, that's what God is doing. And maybe be calling you later into ministry. But He wants to basically train you to be equipped at that time. You know, also, you know, having to talk about basically David's heart. You know, during all this training, God is developing David's heart. And how he's doing this is basically David's mom. David's mom is pouring her devotion of God, her love and devotion into David. You know, the whole, and it makes me think, you know, David took it in throughout that whole time, you know, his mother is telling him, you know, things about God, stories about God. He's taking it in. He's developing, she's setting him on that path of having that heart for God, which he is known to have the heart for God, to chase after God's own heart. You know, and I want to encourage the moms. I want to say how important it is, even though you feel like you're talking to your teenager and you feel like it's falling on deaf ears, basically, when you're talking to them about God. But just know that God is using you to put them on a path, you know, to develop that, you know, that heart of God. Even though it doesn't seem like it at the time, you know, I feel like at those moments, God is even using those. So, on the other side of this, I also want to encourage the teenagers, you know, receive whatever your parents are giving you, even your mom, about the Word of God. Receive it with love. Because, you know, they're trying to get you to have such a passion for God. And that's just the start of these, like, these little moments that we take for vain in the sense of, like, just those little moments of, like, just a small conversation of having, you know, about God. But that leads up to the bigger things of having to, hey, they're developing that heart of God, even though they don't see it. You know, I feel like, even with me, having my mom pour her love of God into my life, even though I think there's times when, as a teenager, I sometimes didn't listen, but, you know, I feel like if my mom didn't do that, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have that heart that I have for God if it wasn't for my mom or for people like you pastors pouring into me about God. So what I want to say is that, you know, with David, you know, You see these qualities that are being dealt into him. It makes you want to root for him to defeat Goliath. So, and God uses faithfulness, you know, even though, you know, David was faithful to God. And in that faithfulness, God was able to use David to do amazing things. So, one last story. And, you know, this whole reading about David and reading about Goliath kind of remind me of How to Train Your Dragon. If you have a kid, you probably have already seen How to Train Your Dragon. But, you know, it's this character, you know, Hiccup, he was scared of dragons. You know, and the whole village saw him as, like, just someone that was just making mistakes or would cause accidents. And they didn't really think very much of him. But throughout the whole three movies that you see that he changes from the all the experience that he has. He changes from this scary little boy into this, you know, young man that's leading the village as the new leader. So it's an amazing thing to see. So when we look back, at the bold and confident statement that David says to Goliath, it was not a teenager's prideful attitude, but it was the faith in God. We know that David was just a sling and runs to meet Goliath and throws a stone with a slingshot and strikes Goliath in the forehead, and he defeats Goliath that day. Sometimes our giants can look like Goliath. It feels like 9 feet tall, and they seem impossible giants to you. I encourage you to have faith in God that He is there for you and has to equip you to face the giant in your life. So at this time, I want to open the invitation. I want to give them a little bit of time. If you just need prayer, if you want to join the church or you're calling the ministry,